the book of Matthew. And pretty tough book if you don't know your doctrine. And it's doctrinally aimed at the Jews. And Jesus is dealing with the Jews. He's dealing with them as a nation that's going to go into the tribulation. He already knows they're going to reject them. And and so he's going to deal with them. We're in Matthew 7. And I think we got to... We'll start at 6. I'm going to pull up these notes here real quick just to make sure I get some things. All right, just in case we got to look up some verses. The Bible says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." So, when dealing with an unsafe person, our focus should be showing them how, shouldn't be showing them how to live a holy life. That's not what our focus should be. Because what you'll do then is you'll spend hours and hours and hours of time trying to point out their wrong in their life and how to do right. And that's not what our focus should be with an unsaved man. The focus should be with an unsaved man is getting them the gospel. You only have a few moments of time to deal with somebody. And that focus should not be on casting pearls, showing them how to live a holy life. It should not be, that shouldn't be the focus. Jesus Christ, once they receive the gospel, will then work inside of them and show them how to live the holy life. Because it's God that worketh within you. And so it should be to get them the gospel, and then the Lord will show them how to live a holy life through his words. And when you try to get somebody and you rebuke them and rebuke them and rebuke them, it's one thing to show somebody, hey, the Bible says for all have sinned. It's another thing to start going in and pointing out their sin. Okay? The Lord will convict them that they have sin. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And so our job is to show them, hey, we're all sinners. Not just you, the sin that you're doing right here, right now, this is bad, you can't do that. No, no, no. You know, we've been out street preaching on the streets, and we've all made our mistakes out there and stuff, but I find that when you're preaching at somebody's sin, directly at their sin, and just not saying, hey, the Lord, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, trust in the Lord, with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own. When you start saying verses, it's best to shy away from aiming the sin at what they're doing right then and there. Because I've had people come, you tell them what they're doing wrong, trying, tell them what the Bible says, and then they come and they want to beat you up. I mean, that's their turning and wanting to rend you. You're casting something holy on the dogs. They don't need to hear that. They need to hear, hey, you need to repent from not believing Jesus Christ and come to him. That's the sin that's really going to send them to hell, not just the acts that they're doing that are unholy. The unholy thing they're doing is they haven't trusted Jesus Christ, and they need to get that down first. Now, when we look at this verse in relation to the Jew in the tribulation, let's read that again. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." In relation to the Jew, in the tribulation, that Jew or somebody's going to come across a Jew. It could be a Jew coming, to a Jew's house looking for food. And he could be looking for food, a place to stay. He could be looking for something to wear. It might be cold, when he's coming to their house. They might have had to leave their own home. Maybe the Antichrist is chasing them. And they will have rejected the number of the beast because they can't buy any food. And so they won't be able to buy anything. And so they're going to be knocking on people's doors. And they're going to be asking for help. Just like what happened in Germany and Poland and all these places where the Jews, when Hitler was coming after them, and they were trying to find a place to stay to get out of the area. And when these people accept these people in to stay, you look at what happened in Germany. When there's stories out there where, you know, they give up these Jews. The Germans come to their house and they give them up. They give that which is unholy unto dogs. You're giving a Jew that's have trusted the message of Jesus Christ in the tribulation. They're on the run. They're not taking the mark. They're trying to do what they've been told to do through whatever message they've gotten, whether it's through the Bible or through the prophets that are going to come back. However, they're getting the message. They're trying to obey it. And when they come in to a house and they are received by that house, and the Antichrist and his workers come to that house, start asking, "Hey, where's these? Do we know these Jews are around here? Have you seen any? They come. They've been passing through this way. Have you seen them?" And they tell them, "Hey, if we find out that you've got these guys," and you hear this when the cop pulls you over. Now, I've been fishing sometimes, and a cop will pull you over and say, "Hey, now listen, boy, I'm going to only ask you one time. I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to directly ask you a question. Don't lie to me. We already know. Okay, don't ask me any questions, officer, because you're not going to get an answer from me. I'm not going to incriminate myself," right? But when they do that, people get scared. And they may have kids in the house, and they may threaten them or whatnot. And they give these people up. They're giving that which is holy, something that the Lord is, you know, the Lord has accepted them here. They're giving them people to the dogs, and just like in Nazi Germany, hey, they'll promise you all these things. Hey, if you tell me the truth now, and we'll go easy on you. Yeah, right. I've been there. My mom always told me, no matter if you did something wrong, they shouldn't be asking you for one. Don't admit to anything until we're there, that we can be there as like a chaperone. Don't ever admit to anything to say you want your parents here. And we should have an attorney. Hey, I'm not saying anything to you until I have an attorney here. I want to talk to somebody that knows the law, that can tell me, hey, do I have to answer this? Because what'll happen is, hey, these guys give these Jews up, and then they turn around and kill their whole family. That's what's going to happen, just like in Nazi Germany. It says right here, lest they trample them under their feet, the pearls that you gave up. Them. We know pearls and precious stones are people. They're souls of people. Trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And this is their mindset. This is what they think. If you've helped this Jew, then you're going to help the next one that comes along. Because we're going to go if you think we're going to go easy on you here, you'll just keep helping them and thinking that we're going to, no, that's not what they do. They just kill them. They broke the law. They're going to kill them. So that's the idea there. Verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, it's pretty interesting if you look at these words here, ask, seek, knock. The first letter of each word, if you put the first letter of each word together, what do you have? Ask. It's pretty interesting. And so what the Lord he's trying to show you is that he wants you to ask. And when you're seeking, you're asking. And when you're knocking, you're asking. And Jesus wants people to ask him. And you say, why? Because when you get to the point when you're asking Jesus, you've given up on thinking that you're going to get anything from men. You're given up on thinking that you're going to get anything that you can't help yourself. You're giving up on that thinking. And so you're coming to Jesus. It hasn't worked out. Men have failed you. You failed yourself. It hasn't worked out for you. And then you get to the point where you say, and somebody comes and says, Jesus can help you. And you've got no other alternative because everything else has failed. Hey, he'll be happy to take you. He wants you to get to that point. And so when you give up on yourself and your own power, and you start looking to Jesus and his power, the Bible says he has all the power in heaven and in earth. It's been given unto him. And you'll start looking to Jesus who can help you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Listen, if you're not asking God, if you're not asking Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not asking them, you're not obligated to, they're not obligated to show you any truth at all. None. Hey, you want the truth from men? Go ahead. If you want the truth from yourself, you think you're smarter than God? Go ahead. And that's the idea here. If you ask and you seek and you knock and you keep asking, keep seeking and keep knocking, God will get you what you need. He'll get you the answers. And if you don't care enough to ask God, God will hide it from you. Jeremiah, let's look in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And so if you have no heart to seek after God, if you have no heart to knock, if you have no heart to ask, well, God's not going to give it to you because you have no heart for it. And so he's not obligated to give you it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3. We'll start in verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious, seeing that when we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Why? They didn't want it. Nevertheless, when it, that's the heart that's talking about in verse 15, when the veil is upon their heart, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And so if your heart doesn't want anything to do with the Lord's not going to show you anything. But once it does, well, then the Lord is obligated to get you the truth. Once your heart is right towards him and you're seeking after him, he will get you the truth. And so those are great promises. We can look at those as great promises. Matthew. Go back to Matthew 7, verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Okay? If a Jew comes to the door in a tribulation, asking for something to eat, or asking for some clothes or a place to stay, what are they going to be told? Are they going to be told, "Hey, here's $100. Here, I'm going to give you $100. I can't give you any food. I can't give you any water. I can't give you anything to wear, but I can give you some money." That's like giving that Jew a stone, because he can't buy anything. He doesn't have the mark. You see what I'm saying? The idea is, when that Jew's coming to look for something to eat, are they going to get a stone from these people? And so they can't. You give him food. You give him something he can use, because he can't buy anything without the mark. Are they going to call the Antichrist and give them a serpent? And the Jew comes knocking at the door. "Hey, I'm hungry. My kids are hungry. We're on a run here. You got any food to spare?" "Yeah, hold on 1 second." And they go inside and they dial up the phone and they call the serpent. And the serpent comes and gets them. That's like calling a serpent. They're giving them nothing. They're not giving them what they need. And so the only hope that Jew will have is to get to Sela the Petra, that rock city, where God will feed them. Because there, when they ask for bread, God's going to turn the stone into the bread. The stone off the serpent's head that the serpent's made out of, he's going to turn that into bread, manna for them. It's going to rain down manna on them. And how about today? If a man asks for the word of God, in most places, do you know what they're going to get? They're going to get the NIV. They're going to get the ASV. They're going to get the RSV. And you say, why? Because they're trusting in men when they should be asking God, seeking God. I remember when my mom was telling me a story. It's pretty interesting. When she moved to Lowell here, and she wanted to start going to church. And there was this some lady, I forget her name, but she showed up at the door. You know, right after she starts thinking she wants to go to church, knock on a door, right? And it's a Catholic lady. And this lady is talking to my mom, talked to her for hours. And gave her some literature, and my mom had some questions. They gave her literature, and they said that they would come back and for her to read the stuff, and they'll be back the following week. And so my mom started reading this garbage. And, you know, she could remember different things when she was growing up, but she started reading this stuff, and she said, "Mike, I don't know what it was. There's just some discrepancies in the literature." And so she went to God, and she said, "God, I know the truth is out there. Would you please show me the truth?" And then up shows Mr. Hoffman at the door, knocking on the door. Well, what's the odds of that happening? I mean, God has people out there that will get you the truth. He uses men. He uses people all over the world. If you're seeking, he'll get you a missionary. If you're looking, if you're not knocking, if you're asking, somebody will come your way, even if they have to give up their whole life in another place to come to speak to one person. That's what the Lord will do. I mean, look at the Ethiopian eunuch. He's out in the middle of nowhere, and he's looking for God, and he's not finding him in the scriptures. He doesn't understand anything. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Brings him a missionary for one person. Just out in the middle of nowhere. And so I'm a firm believer with these people that says, what about these people in the rainforest that they've never heard about God, and nobody's ever got them a Bible, and they never heard anything? And what about those people? Well, there must not be anybody in those tribes seeking after God and asking for God. Because if there was, God would get them the truth. He's obligated to do so. And so praise the Lord, and the Lord will get you what you need. Hey, you know what it takes sometimes to get the truth? It takes staying up at night when you should be sleeping, reading your Bible, studying. It takes going to the library, looking up different things. And a lot of stuff on the internet is you got to be careful what you read because it's manipulated anymore. But if you can find a library anymore, you can find some books. You can actually get some truth out of there. But the Bible's got most of your truth that you're ever going to need for this life. It's got all of it that you need. That there's other truths and other books if you want to learn how to do some things to occupy time on this in this world. But as far as life here and life thereafter, the Bible's got everything you need. So, do you want to find out about God? The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, he's got to do something first. He must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's in Hebrews 11:6. Matthew 11, or 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, that's a humbling verse there. And this is why. Because what God is saying is, he's saying that even when you're doing things right for your own kids, that you're evil. Isn't that something? Look at what he says there. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And what he's saying is, he's saying, you're evil, but I'm not evil. Now just think about the things I can give you. Being holy and just and righteous. You see, there's the Lord's going to get you what you need, not what you want. And he's going to get you what you need so you can please him, not to please yourself. And so that's the idea here. God is not evil, and he's going to take much better care of you when you ask him than your parents will. And let's look in Luke. Look in Luke 11:13. And this is the first thing he wants to get you. Luke 11:13. I think it's Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? That's the first thing he wants to do, is get the evil saved. Right? Then he can do a lot more. He can give you a lot more things, different gifts to help people out, help his children out, and that's what it's all about in this world. Christians, we should be helping, and he gives pastors, teachers, preachers, and a lot of other things, gifts to the church for their benefit, to benefit God in the long run, and to help you here. Verse 12, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That's pretty interesting. So the sum of the matter here is to treat people the way you want to be treated. For the Jew, if you want people to take care of you when the Antichrist is after you in the tribulation, then when you see that Jew come to your house, you better take care of him. Because if you don't take care of him, don't expect that anybody's going to take care of you. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's preparing the Jews for the time of Jacob's trouble. Look, he says, this is the law and the prophets. You treat people the way you want to be treated. And you have no problems fulfilling Scripture. You'll be fulfilling Scripture you won't even have. You won't even have the scripture. And if you just do good to people like you want to have done to you, you'll be obeying it. Pretty interesting how the Lord can get you, if you just do right, you'll be following a lot of the scriptures and not even know it. Ain't that a blessing? Yeah. Right. Yep. And God knows what people do. He knows the needs. He knows when to bring people and when not to. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now, if the Bible's right, then a vast majority, we know the Bible's right. But for those of you that don't know, if the Bible's right, then the vast majority of people have it all wrong. And I'll tell you, even people that go to church and you show them this verse, and they think everybody's saved. They think everybody's a Christian. You just go ask anybody on the street, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Catholics, I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist. There's probably just as many unsaved Baptists as there are Catholics. But what I'm saying here is the world, the people in the world, even in the churches, are going the wrong way. And they've been going the wrong way for a long, long time. And they've been going the wrong way for so long that everybody thinks it's right. And you've got this small group of Bible believers and that are trying to do it right. A little tiny small group. Those that believe the Bible is the Word of God. And you say, why? Well, to do right is going to cost people something. That's just how it's always been. It's going to cost people to something to do right. It's going to cost the Jew his home in the tribulation, his toys, his acceptance with the world, people that have accepted him with the world, his friends. It's going to cost him his money. Oh, the Jew, his money. Try to separate him from that. And so to do right, it'll have to turn that hard-headed, stiff-necked Jew into a beggar. That's what it's going to do to him. And that's a hard thing for a Jew to have to go to people and ask for anything. But that's what he'll have to do. Not only will he have to ask others in his community to help him, but he's going to have to humble himself enough to ask the Lord Jesus to help him. And he will in the end. But it's going to take a long period of time to do that. A lot of judgments, a lot of slaying, a lot of that Jew seeing a lot of bad things. More than it's ever been on the earth. And which is better, to be a beggar or to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And that's what that Jew will have to do. He'll have to humble himself to the point where He just doesn't want to do that. The straight gate is between a rock and a hard place. That's where the straight gate's at. And you'll see here in a couple seconds. But the straight gate is hard to get to because there's, and not only that, once you get there, it's hard to get in because there's not really much room you have to move in. There's no movement. I mean, it's actually a single thing. It's one at a time, single file. Let's look at Deuteronomy 30, 13. I gotta hurry. Did I get this one right? Let's go to a different one. 1 Kings. Did I get Deuteronomy 30, 13? Yeah. Oh, 15. We'll start in verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil. Those are the two ways. You got death and evil, and life and good. There's two ways to go. Life and good is the narrow way. It's the very narrow way that you're gonna get to. Death and evil, that's the broad way. That's what you're born into. You're born into the broad way. Everybody. The narrow way, the narrow gate, it has to be sought after. Look in Matthew 7. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate that and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You have to be looking for the narrow gate. The broad gate you don't have to look for, because you're born into it. It's everywhere. The narrow gate has to be sought after and looked for, and when you find it, you have to go in it. And you're not going to go in it with a group. You're not going to be going in holding hands with your family. You're not going to go in as a church group. That Jew is not going to be able to group together and go into this thing. They're going to find it one at a time. And once they get in there, then they get in there, and then there's people there. But they have to go, hey, you have to come to Jesus. Nobody can force you to come to Jesus. All right? Just because you're in a Christian church doesn't mean that you've gone in the straight gate. Just because you're a Baptist doesn't mean you've gone in the straight gate. It doesn't mean that. Just because you've been born into a Christian nation doesn't mean you've gone in at the straight gate. You have to seek Jesus yourself. And to do that, you're going to have people to help you and witness. But you have to make that decision to go in the narrow way. There's only room for one person. But beware, because the enemy's going to be chasing you when you try to go in there. He's going to be coming at you. He's going to be coming at you. You ever wonder how David and Jonathan beat all these people in these battles? If you can position yourself in a narrow strait where only one or two people at the most can come through and nobody can get to you on the behind, nobody can surround you, you could fight off an army. And that Jew, he's going to be running, and the Lord's going to carry him like wings, they're on eagle's wings into the rock city, and they're not going to get caught. And once they get to that gate, that narrow crevice that they got to crawl through or walk through, the armies aren't going to follow them in there, because an army knows that once you're divided, you fall. And that's what that narrows gate. Hey, you ever notice when you're fighting a spiritual battle, it's usually only one. And if you get that one whooped, then another one pops up. But it's rarely ever two at a time. It's only one. The Lord's not going to put anything more on you than you can handle. And same with the Jew. Once that Jew gets into that crevice, and that's what it is, it's like a mile-long crevice that he goes through, and no army will be able to defeat that Jew once he's in there. That one Jew could probably kill hundreds of those people, one, before he's down. And so they'll try to get him. They'll wait for him when he comes out. That death cloud's going to be overshadowing him. If he comes out of there, he might get caught. But as long as he's in there, he's safe. And that narrow way. And so what's the narrow way in the tribulation? They have to take care of the Jew. They can't give that which is holy to the dogs. He can't take the mark of the beast. If he's a Jew, he has to run and not turn back for anything when he sees the abomination of desolation standing in the most holy place. And he's got to get to that rock city, because that's where his life is, his physical life. And there, they'll call on the Lord Jesus, and they'll get their spiritual life. But not until they get there. And when they see that all hope is lost, they've got nowhere else to turn but to call upon their Messiah. And we'll go ahead and stop there. So that's did we get through verse 14? Yeah, verse 14. All right, we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words, Lord. And we thank you that you've allowed us to have a place to stay, and that we live in freedom to do to speak here, Lord. And nobody's really coming after us to kill us yet. And we pray, Lord, that we pray for those that are in need of salvation, and those that are traveling this morning, that you would just be there to help, Lord, and grant them safety. And we pray for this fellow and that Danny's dealing with, and in the Ukraine, Lord, that you would just get his heart right and help him so he can get his family back and stuff, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Yeah.